Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. You know, in college football, we're used to the best college player being voted in as the Heisman Trophy winner. Now, we also are accustomed to helmets having face masks. But who was the last Heisman winner not to wear a face mask? Timothy B. Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us today to answer this question, and it's a doozy I'm sure you'll want to hear. It's all coming up with Tim in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pig Pen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another evening where we get to have our guests come in, Timothy B. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com, to join us with one of his great tidbit stories that he has on his site. Tim, welcome back to the Pig Pen.
Thank you, Darren. I just wanted to let the listeners know that I am without a dad joke for this particular story. So, breathe deeply, feel better about yourself. You don't have to listen.
There's no masking it, Tim. There's no masking that you don't have.
I was going to use that one, and it was just like it was kind of a low hanging fruit one, and I set higher bar for myself. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, it's like our
that much higher.
Yeah, we're really sinking to new lows tonight, folks, with our segues. And, of course, we're going into one of Tim's tidbits. And he had a recent one titled, The Last Heisman Winner Without a Face Mask. Tim, what can you tell us about this interesting story?
Yeah, so the first Heisman winner was Jay Berwanger, University of Chicago in 1936.
The first NFL draft pick.
Yeah, and he never played. So, you know, he was a guy who, I mean, he had other options in life. And so he actually did a fair amount of refereeing after his playing career. Back in the 30s, 20s and 30s, like when he basically broke his nose playing football in high school. And so back then, people would create these custom masks that, you know, we call them birdcage masks now, but they basically look like the normal face mask that we would wear today, except they basically only covered the top half of the face. So they were there to protect the nose and the eyes, because if you wore glasses at the time, you know, you either had to wear these kind of really goofy things that kind of look like a plane, aviator sort of headgear with, you know, goggles embedded in them, or you wore a birdcage mask. So he had a custom one that he wore throughout his time playing for Chicago. So he was the first Heisman winner and the first Heisman winner to wear a face mask. Now, at the time, most people didn't wear them. And if you wore them, it was because you had suffered like an acute injury. You know, you, again, either you wore glasses or you recently broke your nose. And then once your nose was better, then you got rid of the thing and just played without. So not many people wore them. But then, you know, things changed after World War II. You know, plastic helmets had been introduced in 1940, but then they became popular when the supply of plastics, you know, freed up for civilian use in like 46. And so, and just plain and simple, you know, with the harder plastic helmets, people were getting their faces smashed up more than, you know, like people without a face mask would get hit in the face with a hard plastic helmet and they'd break their nose or bruise themselves or, you know, orbital breaks or whatever. And so then face masks started becoming more popular. And then the face masks themselves led to more facial injuries to the guys who didn't wear face masks, right? Because they protrude out from the helmet. They're hard, you know, unlike leather, which is, you know, just more forgiving. And so, you know, there were a lot of things like some coaches would force, you know, they'd force their team to wear plastic or they'd force their team to put, to w wear leather, you know, however it went. And so, anyways, with Corning, like when I kind of was researching this, I went back and, you know, looked for college images of the, you know, the various players. And the last one I could find where was Horning, who won the Heisman for the 1956 season, during which he did wear a face mask, but he didn't wear one in 55. So, and in both years, Notre Dame was wearing, so I think for a while they had worn like plastic helmets with the golden dome. I'm not positive about the golden dome side of it. But in 55, 56, they wore, you know, I'd call it a yellow helmet with, you know, green cross stripes. And then he, you know, then he has a face mask or he doesn't, depending on the season. So he would have been the, he's the last one I found not wearing a face mask. And especially running backs and quarterbacks, you know, I mean, it was just like, you're getting slammed from all kinds of different directions. You know, you just have less control over what happens to your body and your head. And so I think, you know, they tended to adopt face masks as quickly as almost anybody. So if anybody has information showing that somebody after Horning did not wear a face mask during their college career, let me know. And I will add a postscript to the tidbit and credit you if you want to be credited, you know, whatever. But
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. I mean, because he was right at that era, right when they were changing over, you know, the helmet structure and the protection and everything. So people were becoming more aware of the safety aspect of it, which was a good thing. But yeah, and he was definitely a Heisman winner, so very talented.
And I mean he won the Heisman as the quarterback of a 2-8 team,
Yeah,
you know,
right.
which is really kind of remarkable. But and then obviously, you know, he got converted to halfback when he joined the Packers.
Yeah, most definitely. Both halls of fame. So, great player, and like to do a little bit of extracurricular activity that got him in some trouble too in the pros.
Yeah,
So,
he was not a saint.
yeah, right. That's for sure. Well,
He had some, I would guess he had a lot of temptations in life, but
yeah. I'll bet when you have a young guy with some fame and fortune, definitely goes hand in hand, that's for sure.
I mean, he was nearly as good looking as me. He had a lot more money and he was younger,
Wait a
you
second.
know.
I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
But so we had two, you know, two of the three things going for him.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, great story, Tim, and you know, great awareness on your part, because you know, there's a lot of fans out there that love, you know, the helmet. It's you know, we've had a talk with our friend Noah Cohen recently on, you know, the iconic symbol of the helmet, and people love that symbol and love to learn about it and love the history of it, and love to hear stories about football that it's connected to. And you do this a lot with not only people but with items that are used in football games or items that are represent football games, and you do it in your tidbits on your website. Maybe you could tell the listeners how they can enjoy some of your stories.
Just So the site is footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack newsletter, blog, site, whatever you want to call it. And so if you go there and subscribe, you'll get an email every time that I publish a new story that'll contain the story itself. So you don't have to go to the site, though you can if you want to. Alternatively, if you don't want those coming into your inbox, then you can follow me on Substack and read it through the Substack application. You can just bookmark it and go there wherever you want or whenever you want, or you can follow me on Blue Sky, because I post each story, you know, on Blue Sky, and then have like other kind of miscellaneous comments about football and other things
yeah.
on Blue Sky.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, Tim, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing this story and all the times you've come on and shared and all the stories that you post on social media and on footballarchaeology.com, preserving that great history. So love to talk to you again next Tuesday.
Very good. Thank you, Darren.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.